Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin. What were those? One big long action sequence, because there was no talking. So they had to do everything through action. How many times have you seen Charlie Chaplin being getting chased by somebody? That was the first chase scene in movies. No cars, but of course there were chase scenes. So they've been making those movies for years, even though they didn't have special effects that we have. But action movies can make money, and men flock to those movies by the thousands. Why? Why do men like action movies? Because men crave adventure. They love adventure. Not to say that women don't crave adventure or excitement, but today's Father's Day, so I thought I would speak to the dads in the crowd. And so even though I'm speaking to them, principles are going to apply to all of us as always. But men crave adventure. They want to face down the enemy. They want to stand against the odds and save the day and win great victories. Therefore, action movies really kind of touch men at their core. I mean, if you ask boys in Sunday school what some of their favorite Bible stories are, what do you think they're going to mention? David and Goliath, Samson facing down the Philistines, Fall of Jericho. They're going to talk about those action sequences. And if you ask most men, those are still some of our favorite passages in Scripture, those times when there's action going on and people are standing up for what is right. Have you ever donned the cape and pretend to fly around the house saving the day? Well, that desire really never ends for men. We always want to be a hero, but the stand-up guy, the one that's confident and respected, a man of integrity, living a principled life, living by a code of conduct. Men want to live for something bigger than themselves. That's why the movies that they go see, those action movies, are so popular, because they want to be the best of the heroes they see on the screen. But today, there seems to be a little disconnect between that deep-seated longing to be the hero, to be the stand-up guy, and being a Christian. There seems to be a disconnect there. The desire to be a man's man and live that great adventure, stand strong, leading the charge, going against the evil and facing danger, fighting the good fight. So many times, being a Christian is kind of saying, well, you can't really be a manly man if you're going to follow Christ. This seems to be kind of what a lot of people think. So today we're going to see if we can shed some light on that idea that being a Christian is a life that's void of adventure. And we're going to look at being a lion and a lamb. And you can see the scriptures that we're going to turn to. And I'm going to try to turn to them at the same time, give you time to turn to them as well. So the first one that we want to look at is 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I don't hear any pages turning, so I'm assuming most of you are already there, so we'll go ahead and read the first one. It says, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And then I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. And there it says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." And then the last one there is Ephesians 5, 1. I know I'll kind of go into these pretty quickly, but you'll see the reason why in just a moment. So Ephesians 5, 1 says this. I fear a few pages, so I'll wait just a second. It says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." So these three verses all tell us, first two verses say, we're being changed into the image of Christ. And then in Ephesians it says, follow God's example. So what these verses are telling us is that if we're following Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are to live our lives the way he lives his. We're to follow his example. We're to imitate him and allow the Holy Spirit to move in our lives and make us like Jesus. That's what these verses are saying. We're being transformed into his image. We're being made like him. But here's the question. What does our life look like if we're doing that? If we're imitating Jesus, if we're following the example, what does that mean? Who is Jesus? What is he like? Well, one of the ways that he is described many times is Jesus is meek mild. You ever heard him described that way? I have. And meek is not a bad word. Meek is a good word, but most people equate weak or meek or mild as weak. Meek equals weak. And that is not the case at all. Meek actually means someone who is very strong, someone who has authority, someone who's very powerful, but they're under control. They're confident, they're bold, but they have no need to arbitrarily prove their strength. They don't use their strength to control others, to get others to do, to get their way, to make others bow down to them or push others down, but they build others up and they strengthen others and do what is good for those around them. Most of the time, when we think about Jesus being meek and mild, Hollywood was real bad about this quite a few years ago, but they've gotten better. If you watch a lot of the shows about Jesus now, this is not the way Jesus is portrayed, and I think that's a good thing. But most of the time, a lot of people see Jesus, and he's portrayed as kind of a wimp. Have you ever seen that? He's just kind of a wimp. He just kind of stands there and lets people do whatever they're going to do. And after all, what is the most popular term that we use for Jesus? Jesus is what? The Lamb. That's the most popular term in Christian circles. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Now, lambs are cute. Don't get me wrong. I mean, look at the picture. That's a cute picture. Little lamb. Lambs are cute. They're cuddly. But are lambs strong? No, they're weak. Are lambs smart? No, they're pretty stupid. For all practical purposes, they're completely helpless. So when we hear that Jesus is the Lamb of God, and we say, okay, you're supposed to be a lamb, where do we go? We're supposed to be weak and helpless and that's the sheep. That's how you describe a sheep. So you can understand why when people who may be not believers, who are not sitting in the church pew, and even those in the church pew, when they hear you need to be a lamb, they're thinking, I don't want to be saddled with that label. I don't want to be a lamb. I don't want to be weak. I don't want to be helpless. I don't want to be a wimp. And that's what they think of when they think about being a lamb. Somehow we've kind of stripped Jesus of all his authority and all his majesty and all his awesomeness. We've relegated to him to being a lamb that enjoys it when we come by and brush his wool from now on and again. But as I said, that's one of our favorite terms, the Lamb of God. And Jesus is the Lamb of God. There is no question about that. It is a great term, the term that we need to continue to use. But he didn't get that title because he was helpless and powerless. Far from it, Jesus is no weenie. He is the Lamb because he chose to sacrifice himself for those who needed his help, those who were in need, to set free those who had been taken captive. See, he died being a hero. He died on a rescue mission. You realize that? Jesus died on a rescue mission. And you don't go on a rescue mission from a position of weakness. You go on a rescue mission from a position of power and of strength. So we got to remember, Jesus is the Lamb of God, but we also got to remember who else he is. Jesus is God the Son as well. That's who he was before he became the Lamb. And so when he became human, he didn't cease to be God. When he became a man, his deity did not diminish in the least. It didn't lessen his power at all. It did not weaken him. You know, how many of you know Superman? DC, I'm a Superman. What was his weakness? Kryptonite. We have kryptonite. He just kind of. When Jesus became a man, it wasn't his kryptonite. It didn't change him in the least. It didn't affect him at all. Yeah, he had some limitations because he was human, but yet he was still God. So let me ask you something. Is God a wimp? Is God weak? No, he is not. He speaks and worlds are formed out of nothing. At his voice, storms are stilled and the dead rise. He, at his command, the blind see, the sick are healed, demons run for cover, and captives in hell are set free. Does that sound like God helpless? No, God is not helpless. So God, he is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. And because he's not helpless, because he's God, he's also God Almighty. Jesus is God Almighty. And what does Almighty mean? It means Almighty. I mean, that's kind of different, but he's the most powerful being there is. There is no one that is stronger. There's no one bigger. There's no one wiser than him. How many of you read in Scripture where he talks about saving you by his mighty right arm or his mighty right hand? Have you ever read that? What that means is there's no arm bigger or stronger than his. There's no one that can do what he can do. No one can stand against him. Have you read where he is mighty to save? You know what that means? That means when he decides to rescue, when he decides to save, there's nothing or no one that can stand in his way. He is the true hero. Jesus is a man of action. He's not one to sit on the sidelines. He's a man of integrity, confidence, and he's bold, and he commands respect. He doesn't demand respect. He doesn't say, you're going to respect me or else. He said, just by his very presence, by walking in a room, everybody gives him his respect because of who he is. Think about it in Scripture. When he encountered a demon, what did they immediately do? That was it. They gave him respect. Did he do anything? Did he say anything? No. By his very presence, he commanded respect. And this was from a very early age. You remember when he went to the temple when he was like 13 years old? And his mom and dad left without him? Boy. He was 13. He was considered an adult. So you got to understand, it's not quite the same as we think of a 13-year-old today. Once they were bar mitzvahs, they were an adult. You were in that society, you were a child, or you were an adult. So when they left him, it wasn't that big a deal. Plus, they were traveling with family. Notice he wasn't there. They went back to look for him. They searched for him for 3 days. And where did they find him? In the temple. And what was he doing in the temple? He was talking to the teachers of the law. And they were talking and asking questions. He was not asking questions he needed answers to. But he was asking questions and giving answers that challenged the teachers' faith and their understanding of God. And they were amazed. And it was not just because of what he said, but because of who he was. And what happened every time in Scripture when an opponent comes against him? What does he do when an opponent came against him? Okay, yeah, I'm done, yeah. No, I'm done. Okay, just leave me alone. No, go away. Is that what he did? No, he never backed down. He stood strong. He never flinched or retreated. He takes a stand, and the enemy is always the one that backed down one day. He's a man of principle. He knows his mission, and nothing is going to keep him from accomplishing it. He's completely in, completely committed, all in, nothing held back. And nothing has changed. That's still the man that he is, the God that he is. And that's the man, that's the woman he wants us to be. That's who we're to be like. You see, Jesus isn't just the Lamb of God either. He's not just God the Son. He's not just God Almighty. But he's also a lion. I want you to turn to Revelations 5:5. Revelations 5:5. And then we'll turn over Revelations 19 right after that. So in Revelations 5:5, it says, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals.'" See, here, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus. He is the Lion. Now, when you think of a lion, do you think of something that is small and unassuming and weak and helpless? No. I mean, we talked about Daniel in a lion's den in Vacation Bible School, and we had a recording of a lion roaring. And oh, my goodness, it kind of sends a chill down your spine when you hear one roar. But see, when you think of a lion, you think of something that is strong and commanding and regal and majestic. They are not called the king of beasts for nothing. When a lion is roused or you hear a lion roar, everything and everyone takes notice. Now I want you to listen to Revelations 19, 11 through 16. It says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which he strikes down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter, and he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Here in this passage, he's portrayed as a warrior king leading his army out against an evil foe. He rides forth as a hero on a white horse to vanquish those who would stand against the truth and come against the oppressed and would oppress the helpless. Now, is there anything in the passage in chapter 5 and in this passage in chapter 19 that would lead you to believe that the person that's being talked about is weak and powerless and helpless? No, nothing. Jesus is described as one who has strength, power, and authority. So you see, Jesus is more than a lamb. He is also a lion. He's a warrior who will not quit until he's conquered the enemy and sets free every captive that will come to him, rescuing them from the one who seeks to destroy them and who they are powerless to overcome on their own. But however, this says he's not ruthless in what he does. He is faithful and true and with justice. And justice is always tempered with mercy. And through that, he wages war. Someone described Jesus in the greatest battle that he ever fought, the battle for our salvation, in this way, and I love this description. It says, like a lion whose pride is being threatened, or a king whose people are under attack, he left the safety of his home and went out to face the enemy, and they met for battle on a hill called Golgotha. Satan stepped forward, hissing his lies. And the glorious Jesus, the magnificent Lord, who has all power and authority, stepped out to block his way. The devil hit him hard. He held nothing back. He knew it was now or never. As the barrage came, the lion stood his ground. But the enemy was relentless. With every blow, his anger increased, determined to destroy the one who would dare to try and challenge him. Blow after blow came at the Lord, and yet he never stumbled. He never took a step back. But with great effort, then, Satan gathered all his strength for one final assault. He pulled out a cross, a hammer, and some nails, and to everyone's surprise, the lion fell. The rider on the white horse was knocked to the ground, and it was over. Or so it seemed. But like all good comeback stories, it was not over. It looked as though the would-be conquering lion was no match for his foe. But amid the darkness, there came a stirring. A growling could be heard, faint at first, then growing steadily, louder and louder, until with a mighty roar, the downed lion of Judah rose to his feet, striking the death blow and doubting Satan for good. He is the conqueror. Is the victor. Is that not an awesome description of what Jesus did and who Jesus is? Jesus is the Lamb of God. For he sacrificed himself for us. But the only reason that he could become the Lamb is first and foremost, he was a lion. He was a lion first, then a lamb. He's a lamb not because he was weak, because he is strong. So when the word says that we're transformed into the image of Christ, we're not talking about becoming weak or wimpy. We are to be lions. We're to be warriors. We are to be willing to become lambs. lions and warriors who are willing to become lambs, willing to sacrifice for those that we hold dear, for the Lord, for our families, for our friends. We are sacrificed for those around us, for a true hero, a true warrior helps those in need. They are faithful and true. They wage war with justice and not for personal gain. They stand for those who can't stand up for themselves. They are protectors. They are heroes. Jesus is a strong tower. You remember that? Jesus is a strong tower. And those who run into it are saved. We are to be strong towers and where people can come to us and be safe. We're to be that for those around us. And we're to be men of honor, and we're to help those in need no matter where they are or where they're found. God does not need us to suppress our desire for adventure. He wants us to become the hero that we want to become. He doesn't want to give us a desire and be some lesser version of who we're supposed to be. See, God wants us to be like Jesus, every one of us, and he wants us to be the lion and the lamb. Not a lamb or a lion, but the lion and the lamb. How many of you remember the Glad trash bag commercials from years ago? They would have a bargain brand trash bag, and they'd be stuffing it full of all kinds of stuff, and they put something in it, what would happen? It would rip, right? It would tear. And what are the things that you would hear? See, I can do this here because we all know that commercial. If I was speaking to 20-somethings, they wouldn't have any idea. My kids have no idea what this commercial is about. But what would they say when the trash bag broke? Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. That's exactly right. And then they'd take what? They'd take the hefty trash bag, and they'd stuff it full. Looked like it was going to burst, but it never would. And then what would they say? Hefty, 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 you know. That was it, you know. God doesn't want men and fathers. He doesn't want women and girls to be bargain brand Christians. He wants us to be brand named. Borrow an old slogan from the Army. He wants us to be all we can be. He wants us to fight the good fight. He wants us to win the victory, to be like him, to engage the enemy in battle, stand our ground, and save the day. He wants us to be that hero who is respected and who has integrity. He wants us to be honest and true, confident and bold, and live by the principles of God. To know what our mission is and to be completely committed to it. But here's the thing. To be a lion or a lamb, we have to surrender. Now that's counterintuitive. We're talking about doing battle. We're talking about being a lamb. We're talking about being strong. And now you're talking about surrendering. Well, I'm not talking about surrendering to the enemy, though. I'm talking about surrendering to Christ. Surrendering to the Lord. Which means placing yourself under his authority. The authority of the Lion of Judah. The great conqueror. The King of Kings. See, he becomes your commander-in-chief. You let him train you. You let him prepare you for what's ahead. See, he knows what's coming. He knows what you're going to face. He knows the enemy's weapons. He knows how to defeat him. And he will lead you into the fray in such a way that you can win the battle. And he'll give you power to stand firm, never retreating, and give you the ability to trample the enemy under your feet. I want you to think a minute with me. Think about all the power displayed that you read about in the scriptures. Outside of the cross and his resurrection. Well, that'll be a given, okay? That is the greatest thing he's ever done for us. The greatest amount of power he's ever shown to us through that, okay? But what other things do we see? We've already mentioned a couple of them. David and Goliath, Samson, the fall of Jericho. Those are some things that he has done, the power displayed. Shutting the mouths of the lions for Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Working through the fire. Coming out unharmed. He defeated armies for Israel without even one single arrow being shot by the Israelites. Provided food for a widow and her son and Elijah. He provided oil and flour. Never-ending supply for them. He has healed the sick. Turned the water into wine. Raised the dead. Cast demons out, healed the hearts, lots of other things that we can mention that we see that God has done. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that kind of power was at work in our lives? Guess what? He is. He is at work in your life in that same way. The Spirit dwells in us, and He is not here as a spectator. He is Almighty God. He is the third person of the Trinity, and He uses that power to transform us into both a lion and a lamb. The warrior who's willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. The lion who is willing to lay down their life for others. The greatest power of the universe is available to you, the Holy Spirit. And He will work in you if we give our allegiance to Christ. If we pledge our loyalty and commit completely to following Him. But we've got to be all in. We got to be all in. And when we are all in, the Spirit of power has reign in our lives. Guess what He does? He teaches us how to be that lion and the lamb. And He uses this book. This is the training manual. Right here. This is the training manual. And here, we're taught how to walk like Jesus, how to talk like Jesus, how to stand like Jesus, how to fight like Jesus, and how to sacrifice like Jesus, and how to win like Jesus. He teaches us how to be a lion and when to roar. And He teaches us how to be a lamb and when to be a lamb. Matthew tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So if we're going to live the life God intends us to live, if we're going to be a lion and a lamb, it's vital that we read this book, that we study this book, that we apply this book. Jesus told a parable over in Matthew 7, 24 to 27. And we're all familiar with it. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. We all know the rest, don't we? The rains came and the streams rose. The wind blew against the house. And what happened? It didn't fall. It didn't fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But He says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house. And what happened? The house came down in a great crash. See, it's the word that Jesus uses to make us like Him, to empower us, to make us strong, to give us the ability to stand unmoved like a lion and face the enemy. And then make the necessary sacrifices that we're called to make. Here is where He teaches us how to be a hero. As men and women of God, the word should be in our minds and our hearts. There are those who did say, how many of you, when you were a kid, your first Bible was a King James Version Bible? Anybody? Yeah. That was my first Bible. How many of you could read it and understand any of it? King James was difficult, man. I tried to read it, got lost in language. I got a more modern translation. It began to make a little more sense. It was easier to read. But, and a lot of people say, well, I can't understand it. I can't understand language. Well, that's kind of a non-excuse today. And usually it's not because of the translation. It's usually because we're reading the Word of God alone that we don't grasp it. And what I mean by that is that as we come to the Word of God, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. He is the one that teaches us the Word. Think about this. Every time you open up the Word and start to read, God meets you to teach you. Every time you open up the Word of God, God is there to teach you. This is His Word. So you never read it alone. He is always there. And you need to have Him help you and ask Him, hey, help me listen. Help me understand. So He will help lead us and He will teach us if we will let Him do that. See, the Holy Spirit, it said that He will lead us into all truth, and this is the truth right here. Now I need one word of caution. Anytime you talk about being a lion, you think about being majestic, being strong, you kind of puff out your chest a little bit. Yeah, that's me. Here's a word of warning for all of us. This is not just the men. To be a lion doesn't mean going around pushing people around. Jesus never did that. He never strutted around. He never flaunted his authority in people's faces. And he doesn't want us to do that either. He knows his power. He knows his authority. And he had nothing to prove to anyone. He was always under control. People came to him because he uses his power and authority to serve others. Jesus is confident and secure enough to care for others. And we're to do the same. So when we talk about being a lion, we're talking about being that protector, the hero. All the good that you think of a hero would be, that's who we're supposed to be. So, are you ready to go forth in power and experience victory? Are you ready to stand up for your family and be ready to draw the sword and follow the Lord into the enemy's camp? Are you ready to face down the foe? Are you ready to be the lion and the lamb? Are you ready to roar like Jesus and be like Jesus? Are you ready to sacrifice? Then here's what you got to do. You got to surrender to him. Pledge your heart to him, your hand to the king, and commit to being trained. And then the hero will rise and the adventure will begin. So you ready to be a lion and a lamb? I am. And I hope and pray that every day I'm more of both. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your example. I thank you that you teach us what it means to be not just men, not just women, but to be believers, to be followers of you, what it means to be in your image. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be that strong person that stands in you, in your strength. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about standing in your strength. We have no strength of our own. It all comes from you. It all comes from the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And we thank you for that gift. And I know that you will empower us and you will strengthen us and you will allow us to be that lamb, to be able to stand firm against the onslaughts of the enemy. But Lord, let us never forget that we also need to be the lamb. We need to be the hero that will sacrifice, the hero that will do what's necessary for those around us, to stand for you and to rescue those who don't know you. Point those who are going in the wrong direction back to you. Father, this is a very delicate balance that you've called us to walk. Father, to be a lion and a lamb, those are hard to reconcile. That's the reason we can't do it on our own. We have to do it through you. So, Father, today I ask that you would train me. Father, that you would teach me. Father, you would use me. There's nothing I can do. There's no way that I can make myself be like you. There's no way I can live my life like you live yours. That's the reason you told us that it's by the Spirit. It's not through our own efforts. It's not through our own hard work. But it's by your Spirit. The Spirit does the work. Help us to be open to what he wants to do. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your calling on our lives. Thank you for that you have called us to be the lion and the lamb. Show us how. Show us how. We pray this in Jesus' name.